everybody. Welcome to episode 253 of a Wrestling Gal podcast, providing you with the female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J. As today, I am joined by former PCW Ultra Women's Champion, Danica Delarouge. Now let's chat. Hello, everybody. Today I am joined by your brand new PCW Ultra Women's Champion, Danica Delarouge. So how are you doing today?
Hello, I am doing fabulous. I have three belts right now, so I feel amazing right now.
Giving Viva Van a run for her money. Definitely,
yes,
too.
Yes, I am.
I must say, too, you've had quite the return to professional wrestling recently, which coincides with your championship. So firstly, can you kind of describe the energy or emotion you felt finally stepping back into the squared circle?
Yes, I was definitely excited about it and nervous at the same time, a little bit worried because of my injury, but it shows that it didn't slow me down. And I just came back right in where I was at.
Of course, too. I mean, before we talk about your recent title victory, like you said, we have to take it back a little bit and talk about your journey really over these last 6 months, I would say. So prior to this last March, I would say maybe even February, the last time you wrestled was September, correct?
Yes. Yes. September, I had my surgery, so I couldn't do anything after that.
So what exactly happened to cause your injury in ACL replacement surgery?
I was actually on tour with midget wrestling, and it actually happened during a performance. I had tore it, and I knew exactly what it was because I've torn my other ACL when I was in middle school. So I knew instantly what it was, and I didn't want to give in to not wrestling anymore. So I had about 8 other matches after that because I didn't want to stop. But I mean, I was also trained to work or to be able to work somebody that is injured. So it ended up working out.
That is true. So what does it, again, I've never had like knee problems or anything, so bear with me. So what does it exactly like feel like when you're wrestling with like essentially a messed up ACL in your knee?
It was definitely scary because it can just give out at any second, especially during a performance. Thankfully, it never did give out during a show, but it did give out. I went to training once at Buddy Wayne Academy, and I literally, we locked up and I went to chain. And as soon as I like went under, my leg gave out, I fell on the floor. I was crying. It was very intense. And from that moment, I stopped chaining, wrestling, anything like that.
Yeah, definitely got to take care of yourself. Of course, you were on the shelf for a bit of time. I will say, though, again, I feel like normally the ACL turntable is like 6 to 9 months or sometimes even longer than that. I would say you had a pretty quick turnaround. So what exactly was the extent of your injury?
Yeah, I'm not really cleared to wrestle yet. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like I said, there's ways to work around it.
Yeah.
And that's just what I've been doing. And I did have my first actual announced couple matches, and it felt really great. And this is the time where my doctor had said, like, hey, it's going to feel great. It's going to feel like you can do anything. But internally, your knee is not healed. So you need to be very, very careful around this time.
Definitely too. And now you are back in action, of course, the new PCW Ultra Women's Champion. But during that time away, how did you kind of keep yourself occupied? Because that's got to feel like you're losing a part of yourself.
Yes, it was definitely hard. I kind of just stayed away from wrestling and watching it just because it was so hard to. It's like something you love and you're not able to have it or do it. So I just had to just stay away from it for a while. I just played video games in the meantime, and just kept myself distracted and worked a lot.
Especially too, I mean, video games, I feel like have been an escape for a lot of people, even just throughout the pandemic. But which ones are you finding yourself like most engaged in?
I was playing Pokemon a lot and Animal Crossing a lot, because yeah. I had played Animal Crossing, but you know, you stop for a while, come back to it. And Mario Party, that's the one I've been playing with like my family. We'd have it like every week and we'd play every weekend. So just to keep myself distracted.
I like that. It's like a family game night. I feel like we don't get a lot of those nowadays.
Yeah.
Especially too. Now, do you normally win in those family game nights, or where do you rank in that?
I do. I'm either first or I'm second.
Pretty good track record right there.
I'm very competitive in things that I do.
Definitely too. I feel like too, especially in video games and wrestling and like everything you're doing, and like the competitive nature just comes out sometimes.
Yes, for sure. And I've always kind of been like that. It was to a point of where I, for my birthdays when I was younger, would go to the pool, play video games. And my parents would have to tell me, hey, if you keep acting the way you're acting, no one's going to want to play with you. So.
I like that though too. Now, do you kind of like board game wise or like card game wise, do you kind of have a favorite one in that realm?
I am very good at chess. I love to challenge people. I love when people are like, oh, I'm great at it. I'm like, oh, really? Challenge me. Let's play. I really do like it. It's a strategic game and something that I've like always done when I was younger, and it's a lot of fun to me.
I feel like chess is not everybody's thing, but you have to be, like you said, really strategic and also like understand all the concepts and like think moves and moves ahead. So like, did you kind of just learn naturally, or were you kind of guided and taught it from someone?
I was definitely guided and taught it from elementary school.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. So who kind of took you under their wing? Did you guys just play like against each other, or what exactly, like how did you exactly learn? Because I feel like that's got to take a while to like learn and understand, especially in elementary school.
Yeah, it was a family member. And we would just play. They taught me how to play, taught me the things to look for, how to think ahead of the other person. And I feel like I take that actually into life and observing people. That's a lot of what I do.
Especially with observing and all of that. I mean, gaining your quiet comeback too recently, I feel like it takes a lot of time to heal, not only physically, but likely mentally and emotionally as well. So before we talk about like physical training and all of that, what are some ways, maybe it is through gaming, but what are some ways you centered yourself back mentally being away from professional wrestling, which has been something you've been doing for years now?
I definitely listened to some podcasts of like the old school wrestlers of when they had injuries and what they were going through, and also spoke with other wrestlers that have recovered from an injury. And that definitely helped me out a lot to know that there are other people that felt that way. And then some wrestlers along like in my school as well, like had injuries as well. So we got to talk about it, and that helped me mentally feel better about it.
Through those discussions, whoever it was with, did you kind of take in a new like thing of information that maybe you wouldn't have known like through the recovery process, or felt like you really related to in that aspect?
Leon Negron had his ACL torn. So me and him definitely talked about this a lot. It helped me feel better, know about, he would say, oh, I get those pains, or what stage are you going through? And I'd explain where I'm at. And he's like, oh, I remember going through that part. So it made me feel like I wasn't alone. And then to see that he's wrestling now, that made me feel like, okay, there is hope.
Of course. I mean, it's hard sometimes to see that light at the end of the tunnel too. And I mean, you've definitely triumphed through it. You're now back in the ring. What for you though, would you say is maybe been the most difficult or challenging part of the whole process of coming back?
I think the hardest part is not, restraining myself from not just like go, 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 and doing all the things that I used to do. And then watching others do it and just having to sit there and be like, it's like, I can't do that. Like, and just accept it.
And I mean, especially too, when you actually did step back into a ring, did you kind of naturally feel like you got your groove back, or did it take you a bit to kind of shake that ring rust a bit, as they say?
Certain things I got right back into, but other things I decided not to try yet because I didn't feel comfortable and I didn't want to possibly injure it. So I just had to be weary of the things that I could do. And at the time of where, like where I'm at 4 months, what can I do? I'm at 5 months, what can I do?
Is there a certain move or anything that you're kind of really hesitant to do because of your knee injury? Yeah.
Yes. I haven't been doing up and overs, or anything on the ropes yet. Nothing with jumping, because the landing is a scary part for me. And, even in therapy, one day they were just like, okay, I want you to do this, this, and this, and go do it. And it was all like jumping exercises. And that was the very first time. And I started freaking out and I'm like, what do you mean? Like, can I do it? And they're like, yeah, if you're running, I'm confident you can do this. So, just being able to do that in therapy, but not very well, like definitely scared me to do it in the ring. I do think this week I'll try some of it, but maybe like one thing at a time.
Yeah, because you don't want to like overdo too much, especially too in landing where you kind of have to coordinate things perfectly, because even if you're too far to one way, your knee could like bend or tweak it, and I feel like that would just aggravate it even more.
Yes. Yeah. And I just made it. Yesterday was my 6 month mark. So it's still very early on.
Yeah. Like I said, I think normally the timetable is like 6 to 9 months normally for like ACL injuries. So I feel like you're definitely ahead of the curve, at least in ring action and all that. And I mean, upon your return though, you did recently dethrone Viva Van to become the PCW Ultra Women's Champion. So what was that moment like for you? The record books are still intact. I know PCW released a statement. You are still the PCW Ultra Women's Champion, but what was that moment like for you?
Yes, that was a very big moment because that was my first match going against Viva for a belt or for the PCW belt. And other women have done it. Other women have tried to. And the fact that I did it and I'm still injured is just as good, like if not better. And then along with me saying that I want her to do, give me everything you have, because just because we are friends doesn't mean that I'm going to treat you any differently. I'm going to treat you exactly the same as I did the other women, Rebel Kel, Kikyo. I'm going to treat you exactly the same regardless of our friendship.
Of course. And I mean, I feel like too, you arrived, even just how you're looking today, I feel like you arrived with a new look and kind of a new attitude, it seems. So can you kind of tell us more about this newly rejuvenated Danica Delarouche?
Yes, I was just sick of people stepping on me and pushing me aside and looking me over. And it seemed that I wasn't getting anywhere with my good girl personality and wishing everyone the best. It wasn't getting me anywhere. And so I decided to reinvent myself with Kelly, because that's kind of where it all began. That's me and Kelly trained together at Buddy Wayne Academy. Me and Rebel Kel were friends. We did a lot together. And I was done. I was done being pushed aside. And so that's where I started. And I liked it. I love the feeling. I love the booze because I don't care. I don't care if you like me or not. I'm going to do what I want to do. And so I just carried it on from there on forth. And I didn't care who was in the ring. I don't care if you're a name, how long you've been wrestling, if you're a vet, or if you're my friend, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to come in there with my new attitude and my new moveset, and I am going to take over.
You definitely are taking over already as the new champion. I feel like too, along with that new attitude, it's kind of a new look as well. I feel like for a while, a staple of your look was definitely your signature pink hair. And of course, there's still some shades to it in there. But what really prompted this, I would say, drastic hair change for you too?
I think I started looking at how I could be different and what I needed to change and what other wrestlers look like. And I noticed a lot of people with pink hair. And it started to aggravate me because I was the original pink hair and everyone else started getting it. And so I felt like I needed to change. I have a new attitude, a new personality. I need a different look. And I've actually always wanted to try box braids. I've done cornrows before and I love them, but I wanted to try something different. And so I had my sister try one piece and I loved it. And so we just stuck with it and did all of it. And I just showed up like that.
It fits too. The pink kind of looks like you got like kind of a blood smear, which kind of looks badass, yeah. I must say. Like, you still got the shades of pink there, but it's definitely a new look and a new attitude and a new era of Danica Delarouge, and I'm here for it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of course, too. Just in general, too, I must say, like, your ring gear, I mean, especially from like the pink hair era, well, I was like obsessed with. Of course, now you've kind of moved on and reinvented yourself. So I guess going along with your current ring gear, do you kind of have any stories or inspirations when reinventing this new ring gear, a new look for yourself?
I definitely wanted something different, but also something that is more of me, because babyface Danica, that was just me trying to fit in and be happy what I've been doing all of my life. But deep down inside, I have always been aggressive. I always fought in school. It's just, I feel like this is who I am. And it's great to find out and kind of change clothes and like figure out what I am. And I feel like Defy gets to see me develop into that. And I get to see me develop into it.
Especially too, I'm excited to see where you go from here and develop into this new rejuvenated Danica and all of that. You got a lot of things up your sleeve and I'm so excited to see. I'm curious too, from your perspective too, I feel like ring gear is like a very underrated aspect of professional wrestling. So from your point of view, like, who do you think has the best ring gear game or aesthetic in pro wrestling today?
Today it's so hard because there's so many talented designers and new things coming out. I really do love Jade. I always say her name wrong.
Cargill.
Cargill. Yes, I can't say it right. I always love the stuff she wears. I love the stuff that Thunder Rosa wears. It's always different and great. I love some of the things that Mickey James wears. And even some of the wrestlers out, the newer wrestlers too. It's really cool. It's great to see it in the different styles. It's pretty awesome.
I feel like it too, like I said, I feel like it's really underrated aspect, but it really enhances like your attitude or your aesthetic and like your character that you're trying to develop.
Yes.
And so,
I always love,
go ahead.
Sorry. I always love, Rhea's, pants. They're always great.
Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Like, it's so like hardcore and metal. Like, I'm obsessed with them too. Like, I want a pair myself. I'm obsessed with it, of course, too.
Yes.
But as you look on now to the future and developing yourself, now that you've officially returned, what are some of your goals you'd like to accomplish next?
I definitely want to do what I had originally planned until COVID had come in and affected everything. But I was on my way to go to Japan to wrestle for Sendai. And that week of April, it was actually canceled because of it. So I'm waiting for those doors to open back up. I am in constant communication with Miko, so I'm just waiting, and I can't wait to do that. Like, if I could wrestle there for my entire life, I would wrestle there for my entire life.
Of course, Japan is just a whole other, I mean, not only style, but attitude and feel to it. I'm a big fan of it. And so I think you would gel really well. So I hope that this opportunity comes up for you. The world has been crazy, but fingers crossed, I hopefully it comes into fruition for you.
Yes, yes. But other than that, I definitely do want to wrestle in other places. AW Dark, AW itself, WWE, any other promotions, Marvelous in Japan. Like, I want to wrestle everywhere.
Of course. I mean, you got to experience that world too, and all these different opponents and experiences too. I mean, of course, wrestling is a worldly thing. And of course, switching gears here, I wanted to bring it back a little bit of talking about something that you tweeted a few months ago, because I feel like it's really relevant to life in general. And so you said, and I quote, "Take a deep breath, pick yourself off, dust yourself off, and start all over again." And so how do you personally maybe cope with those moments of self-doubt if you're ever feeling down?
Yeah, I just think back to what my coach had said, because there was a lot of times where he'd be like, "Hey, throughout this business is hard, it's cutthroat, and there's going to be times where you love it and you want to do it all the time. There's going to be times where you hate it. There's going to be times where you want to quit, but you just keep going and you'll figure out what you want to do." And so the bad days, I know they're going to come. I just try not to dwell on it. And I just try and move on from there and look at the things. I'll look at the things that I've done in my past. I'm like, okay, I am getting there. It's like, it's just one bad day. It's just a couple bad days. It's like, it's going to happen. You just have to keep going or get left behind.
Like they say, just keep swimming, keep on going. Of course, that's been so hard, I think, especially the last 2+ years now, but everybody's essentially going through the same thing. We had so many things taken away from us in different career fields and all of that, but definitely keep on going is definitely a great quote for you. And I like, kind of corresponding with that, I've seen a theme of various inspirational quotes posted on your Twitter and Instagram. So is there one that really resonates with you, or kind of you let guide yourself to in life at all?
I feel like a variety of them. A lot of what John Cena says.
He's a great Twitter.
Like, I take it. He really is. just things that have to deal with, because I've had a lot of bad things happen in my life. So, but it doesn't mean that it's going to always be like that. So I always just think about, like, okay, well, things happen for a reason, whether you like it or not, but where you're supposed to be or your path, you're going to make it there. And so I just think like that.
Of course, too. And everybody's path is different. Like I said, I love the theme. John Cena has a great account too. And you yourself have a lot of like uplifting quotes, and I love to see it, especially, I mean, I know you have this new attitude, but you still got that sense of positivity and keep on trucking, as they say. And to close things out, you've posted that one of your goals is to inspire others as well. So for you, who are some people then in turn that inspire you personally or professionally?
A lot of wrestlers that I look up to are the ones that have so much talent but aren't being utilized to it, or that I see it, like Alicia Fox. She's great. Naomi, she can do amazing things. Ember Moon, she does like Lucha, like she was never able to actually do it, and now I get to actually see it. More of the women, just because that's, I don't know, I feel like I'm more closer to them or, you know.
Relatable. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then also seeing documentaries like The Rock, the things that he's gone through, Paige, things that she's gone through. And I feel like anyone can really be inspiring. Going through my WWE tryout, I got to hear a lot of stories and a lot of sad stories, but it doesn't make you who you are. Everyone has a sad story. It's up to you to get through it. And obviously, like, some people need a lot more help, which is great. Like, I definitely needed a push. I needed help. So I definitely look up to just about anyone if I hear the right thing or if I see the right thing.
I like that mentality too. Like, everybody has a different story, whether it's untold or it's out there publicly. We all have like our own special path and all of that. And so I found it really inspiring that like one of your goals is to inspire others, whether that be through professional wrestling or your own story. I think that's really cool.
Thank you.
And of course, before I let you go, can you please tell the listeners where they can find you on all your social medias?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram. I was hacked, but I got my account back.
Okay.
Danica De La Rouge. You can follow me on there. On Twitter, Danica D Rouge. They didn't have enough letters characters, that I could put in there. Yeah. And Facebook, Danica De La Rouge as well.
You know what's crazy? You're like actually like the second wrestler in the last couple of weeks that I've heard has gotten hacked. It's, I don't know what's going on. But anyways, I digress. I'm glad you got it back, of course, so the people can follow you everywhere. And Danica, thank you so much again for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Me as well.